His new book is Suck and Blow. It is in bookstores now. Blues Traveler is actually going back on tour starting in the next couple of days. John.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good, man. How are you?
All right. I'm actually leaving for the road tomorrow, like 4 a.m. This morning I wake up and then like I think I leave around, 8 or 9 or something like that. Something annoying. And then I get to Virginia around 11 at night, and then the next day I play. So Wednesday I'm singing.
Where's the first date at?
It's at Glen Allen, Virginia. And I really should have the information, but nobody ever gives me anything.
So is that a rescheduled day? I know you had like a health scare that came
up. Yeah, well, it was actually wasn't even a scare. My spine, I had two collapsed vertebrae in my neck for years, turns out.
For years?
And they were like
I would think that would be something that you'd be conscious of.
Well, there's all this other stuff that was happening to me.
Jesus.
We can't swear on this podcast, can we?
John, you can say whatever you want, buddy.
All right, so all this other shit was happening to me. we had you got a minute?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got a minute. Sure, yeah, okay. So,
John, I got all the time in the world for you, man.
Oh, you're sweet. So, you know, for the last year or so, I've been noticing a weakness in my right hand, and I figured it was, in my right arm, really, like lifting up things that were pretty normal. It was getting more and more difficult, and only recently did it start getting really absurd. You know, like putting something in my shirt pocket was now like, it was like I had cerebral palsy or something. I couldn't physically do it. But the thing is, before that, or in January of this year, I'd fallen in my yard and broken my ankle, and I thought it was just sprained, but it turns out I was like walking around on a broken ankle for 2 weeks. And then while I was crutch walking out of that, I stress fractured my left knee. You know, I first broke my right ankle, then I stress fractured my left knee doing, you know, trying to favor the busted leg, and then I stress fractured that, so that was 2 more months in crutches. So I was dealing with all kinds of stuff like that and not noticing that all the while this was getting worse. And I mean, this was really going back to sometime last year. I really started noticing it, but they said that this could have been this way for a long time. I had to go get an MRI in my neck. That's what my doctor started suspecting. And it turns out that 2 vertebrae in my neck were collapsed. And if I didn't, and it took so damn long to get the MRI because I was traveling around and stuff and just not really paying attention to this. I was literally months away from permanent, like total paralysis. I could have been paralyzed.
Jesus. So are you,
and so,
you got a bunch of metal
in you?
Yeah,
so it was like,
now?
You got to stop. So they said, you got to stop touring. You got to go get this surgery now or, you know, you're really risking a lot.
Right.
And what they did is they replaced 2 of the discs in my neck. Instead of doing the fusion where they like bolt everything together, I've got really poor bone growth. Excuse the pun. And, you know, so, like they had to replace these 2 little, discs in my neck individually. And I'm 2 weeks out of that operation as of today. And, you know, it was a pretty quick operation, but, you know, my neck still hurts, but I haven't sung yet loud. I'm going to find out on Wednesday how I do.
Have you done any practicing or anything just to kind of see, or are you just going to
wing
it?
Well, a little bit, but you don't really know until you got the band behind you what it's going to really do.
Yeah, once you
so, you know,
feeling.
I feel in full voice, you know, it's a little scratchy. 2 weeks is early, but it's been done, you know, I think if I just take it easy and I sing careful and I don't get too crazy afterwards,
John,
I think I can do it.
Do they mosh for Blues Traveler?
And that has occurred, yes.
We've had moshers.
Sometimes you get moshers, sometimes you don't. It really depends on the audience. And one thing I know for sure is if they mosh to us, they were going to mosh anyway.
So like if you play a festival where there's a bunch of people there, they're there to mosh for somebody. Yeah. They might as well mosh for you.
Exactly. If they came with their moshing clothes on kind of regardless
of who
was playing. You know, occasionally we'll get people that are dying. Most people want to listen to us when they're coming to see us, but we have had some moshers, and actually Chan, our guitarist, usually wants to jump on and mosh with them, but thank God he's finally getting too old for that.
Well, I've been reading your book. I was reading a part where you said that when you broke a harmonica...
Could you say that again and just call me a magnificent bastard?
I've been reading your book, you magnificent bastard.
Thank you. It's from that old Patton movie, you know, George C. Scott. Bravo!
And you said that when you break a harmonica, you just toss it in there. So toss it out there in the crowd. When you toss a harmonica out there, is there fights that break out for people that want the harmonica?
There have been, but usually somebody just gets it so fast, nobody even knows where it went. And, like, I get the best view of that. Everyone's looking for it while the smart guy who caught it is all sneaking away. But the one that always scares me is the two frat guys who, like, pincer elbows on either side of the head of this little hippie chick. You know, she's almost caught it, and they just sort of elbow her in either side of the head, and she just goes right down and disappears in the crowd. And what always scared me is that you never see any signs of her. There's not even a bloody trail. She just disappears. Like, where does she go?
She just materialized. She's gone.
She's, like, trampled into the machinery of the crowd, and you never see her again.
When you throw the harmonicas out into the crowd, John, do you ever worry that they're going to use your saliva to make clones or frame you for a murder?
Well, I could only hope, because if they frame me for a murder, then I could prove that it is possible to frame me for a murder, and then I could go committing all kinds of murders, right?
Yeah, I guess. I didn't think of that. If you get framed for a murder, then you can always say, oh, they're trying to frame me for more murders.
Exactly. So how much saliva have I spread out? How much DNA? How much doubt have I sown across the country right now?
A lot.
I mean, really.
And I mean,
really, I could set up my own murder incorporated. Yeah, I could just kill people wholesale and just blame it all on that harmonica saliva that all of these scientists were at my shows. Yeah, all of these DNA. Well, I mean, I must have thrown thousands upon thousands of harmonicas out to the crowd. I mean, you do the law of averages. How many of them were DNA scientists?
Well, and you also said that you tip pizza guys with your harmonicas, too. You just give them out as tips.
Yeah, some of them could have gone on to school and learned how to splice DNA. You know, I think, you know, really, I'm looking at probably I could get away with, like, 4 good murders. Well, now I have decisions to make.
I feel like we've implanted something in John. We've made him think that now he can get away with murders.
A little food for thought.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
I regret this whole line of questioning.
Let's say I've thrown 10,000 harmonicas out there. Now, what percentage of the people catching them would be scientists able to come up with some sort of frame job based on DNA evidence?
Don't they say that, like, 1 in every 100 person has probably killed somebody? It's something crazy.
All right, so if 1 in every 100 persons has killed somebody, then 1 in every 50 people has got to be a DNA scientist.
Right. And I'm
so
sure
now 10,000 and go every
50, harmonica.
Divide that by...
Just by the amount of harmonicas that you've given out, you've probably given at least 5 people that have killed someone a harmonica that they just have.
No way. How many people who've been killed did I give a harmonica to? Whoa.
Like, how many people are now dead that had your harmonica and, like, passed it down?
Whoa.
How many people have willed one of your harmonicas to somebody?
Well, you know, in a sense, I willed it to them when I threw it at them.
John, I have 5 people in our chat room right now that have asked me if you were at Woodstock 94.
Do they have harmonicas, and are they alive, or have they killed anyone?
I don't think any of them have killed anyone. I hope not. But they all want to know if you were at Woodstock 1994. That they have to know.
Yes.
Guys, John was at Woodstock 1994. He was.
I was, and I told people not to drink the brown Pepsi because Crystal Pepsi was sponsoring it.
It's back now, John. Have you had a Crystal Pepsi since it's come back?
Nah, you know, I think the whole Crystal thing kind of lost me at meth. You know, I figured, like, it's not really an appetizing, let's do some Crystal beverage. You know, it just doesn't make me thirsty.
No.
Makes my skin itch.
No. Now, Matt is strictly here because he heard, I was telling him about your chapter about fast food, and Matt is a fast food connoisseur, and so I thought that we could all just get kind of, you know, weird about fast food, if you could.
Hey, John, let's start with the Whopperito. Well, have you had it yet?
No, it looks to me like somebody ate a Whopper and then couldn't digest it because they had a gastric bypass and threw it up and then wrapped it up in a burrito.
That's exactly what it tastes like. Have you had the...
It looks like a mess.
Have you had that core burrito at Taco Bell?
No, I'm interested in trying that one. That looks to me like a neat idea where you have like a core layer that actually you can strike and then there's something like scalding hot ready to burn you. I love those odds.
Yeah,
you know the McDonald's old apple pie? You can basically get that at KFC.
The apple pie?
Remember the old apple pie? Yeah, where it was like that molten apple pie and like this sort of weird layer of deep friedness that would squirt hot lava in your. For some reason they sold the recipe to KFC. You can get the KFC apple turnovers. The same thing as the old McDonald's apple pie.
Are you still indulging in the fast food on a regular basis, or did after all of the health issues, you're like, oh, I better fucking stop?
Well, it's whatever I can. You know, the thing is, having the gastric bypass, you can't do it like you used to. Like I used to do it like only. Like I was exclusively a fast food eater.
Right.
And
I believe a passage you said was that you rewarded yourself by passing a McDonald's by going to McDonald's.
Exactly. That would be a good way to, that's exactly what I would do. I used to be like afraid of going by a fast food place because like I knew that I couldn't go past it.
Yeah.
You know, it really got into my head. It was really the only, I think it was the only visceral joy I had at some point. I mean, I wasn't really drinking. I was completely not drinking. And I wasn't really doing drugs. Like, I would do a little drugs, but nothing like my compadres were at the time. And, you know, I was the sober guy. And so basically for me, it became about food. I used to be able to eat a dozen donuts. You know, I'd go to Dunkin' and I could get literally a dozen in me in one sitting. And I just can't imagine that. Now I eat like half a donut and I get so ill. So, like, I love donuts, but there's no real point to getting donuts because I can't really eat them. I'll have half a bite and then I got to take a shit real fast.
Yeah, so you had the gastric bypass. Did you ever consider doing like the Overeaters Anonymous, or did you try that at all?
Oh, God, we did all that stuff. I mean, I went to Weight Watchers in the seventh grade. My mom sent me to Weight Watchers.
Like, your mom sent you to Weight Watchers?
Yeah, I went to a Weight Watchers camp, like a camp. Yeah, and what part of the camp is that you got like follow-up Weight Watchers like meetings.
Yeah.
And where I lived in Stanford, it was me and like six really angry housewives in their late 40s. And like I was like an 11-year-old kid. So,
you were on the movie Heavyweights.
Well, I didn't see that movie, but it sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
Was there anybody at the fat camp that just didn't seem like they should be there that you guys like shunned?
Yes. Yes, me. I was that guy.
You were like,
for some reason,
I don't even feel like I'm
even
fat
the fattest kid there.
Here.
I was by far not the fattest kid there, but somehow I was the most antisocial. I don't know what it was.
This was at a young age that you did this. Do you feel like
I never
when
hung
you
out
got
with
to
people?
Heaviest,
I guess I don't
like
know
a,
what it was. Yeah, I never really hung out with. I don't know what it was, but somehow everybody at the fat camp wanted to kick my ass. I'm not sure how they did that. It was odd.
You said, "Mom, you thought I was fat. Then I'll show you."
I was a very obnoxious kid. Yeah, I was. I don't know what it was. I thought in my mind, I guess I was being cute, or I don't know what. I don't really know what my thought process was. Just I really had no skills with people.
What was a typical order at McDonald's for Mr. Popper?
That would be a Big Mac, quarter pounder with cheese, 6-piece nuggets with sweet and sour sauce. And a large drink.
See that? Nice. See, I feel like that would be my order, Matt. Like, you know, if I if I had that mountains win again money, you know?
Well, what's funny?
I feel like I'm limited.
Nowadays, when I'm really hungry, I could back that off to a cheeseburger instead of a quarter pounder with cheese. And what will happen now is I'll just go a Big Mac and the nuggets.
Yeah.
But what's really depressing is no matter how I do it, basically I'm going to leave half a sandwich on the table.
Right.
That's just how it is now.
Oh, so
and what you
got
to get good at, especially with fast food, is you got to get good at throwing the food away because it's crap food. So what you're after is a bite. Like if I'm really craving Burger King, there's no way I need to eat an entire Whopper. You just take a big bite of that Whopper and throw it away.
See,
like,
who's going to mourn that? It's not like you're going to like a great steakhouse and leaving a steak on the table.
My problem is I have the Burger King app, and I can get two Whoppers, buy one, get one free, and I inhale both of them, along with a 10-piece nugget and a hot dog.
See, now, I don't understand why Burger King is trying to kill people.
Well, they're succeeding.
I feel like Hardee's is the one that's trying to kill people. I feel like everything they put out is just daring you to eat it.
Yeah, yeah. What was the one that Carl Jr. did? It was like a hamburger with a hot dog in it.
Oh.
And it was why? Because America, that's why.
Yeah, I and, dare you, know, you to
I did
eat
try,
this.
I had to try that burger. I had to try it, but there's no way I finished it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, I love burgers with hot peppers on them, though. That's my thing. When I lost the weight, throwing the hot peppers on stuff, that definitely helps. Because if you burn your face, you're not going to eat as much.
Yes, I think if you take a spatula to the face, you might stop eating as well.
Well, you know, I mean, there's no need to spatula if you've got things like hibernia peppers. You know, you just throw some of that on there, and then while you're going,
I'm gonna have my wife do that from now on, is just to have a squirt bottle full of hot sauce and just spray it in my eyes every time I go to eat something.
Oh, I'm telling you. Put some of that Tapatios on everything, and believe me, you're going to eat less. And you're going to have more fun, because like you eventually get hooked on that hot sauce. That's a whole other addiction, and you get into that, and you just can't eat as much. Believe me, both overeating or eating the hot sauce is going to give you the wickedest shits ever, though.
Yeah, but I think you've
So you got to be careful. You got to plan these things. Just plan it out.
Okay. So, Matt, I mean, do you feel like we got enough fast food in there, Matt?
Honestly, I wish I could talk to John Popper for hours about fast food. And
yeah, this stuff could be its own show. You know, you really could.
I really could.
John, I have another question about the book, because the other things, why are we talking about that? We're not selling Burger King.
Wait, hold on. Before you get onto the book, what establishment has the best fries?
I was going to – actually, that was the question I was going to ask you before we left off of this. Clearly, far and away, McDonald's fries are the best fries.
Yeah, I agree.
See, I like a Steak and Shake fry. I like a Rally's fry. But I like a McDonald's fry. I think those are my top.
I'm just going off of the big names. You know, Burger King, Wendy's, McDonald's. You know, the ones that you see at a truck stop everywhere. McDonald's,
the ones that you can get everywhere. The way you can't get Rally's everywhere.
Exactly. I love a Johnny Rockets fry. You know, the crinkle cut fries. I mean, those things are awesome. Yeah. If you can find them, but you know, Johnny Rockets is great, but that's not everywhere.
I am jerking off to John Popper talk about fries right now.
I am not an In-N-Out Burgers fry man, though. I don't like the In-N-Out fries. Okay. People do. People like them with the skins on. I'm not that guy.
When you write a memoir, does that kind of feel like nothing else can, you can't really do anything else? Like, because then it wasn't in the book, and that wasn't part of the...
Right. There is that feeling. You're right.
Do you kind of feel like, oh, well, shit, if I do anything else of note, I got to write another book.
And you know what? My publishing company technically owns the rights to my life story, so I've done it already. Nothing else officially can ever happen in my life anymore.
And who would play you in the John Popper Suck and Blow movie?
Well, I'd really press hard to try and play myself. But barring me, let's see. Well, I guess we need somebody younger. So,
like a Josh Gad, maybe.
Yeah, is that the guy who played Woz in the Steve Jobs movie?
Yeah.
No, that was Seth Rogen played Woz in that, but he played.
There was two Steve Jobs movies.
Yeah. Didn't Josh Gad play one of them?
I think he was one of the
Woz. Yeah, he played one of the Woz. Yeah, I could see him being me. I could see him being a. But he's already starting to get too old, too. We need a new young fat guy with frizzy hair. Mm. Yeah, I know. Basically, get the funniest guy who can act, who's kind of big and sort of has a kind of a Jufro, but a little straight. And
guy that can pull off a damn hat, right?
Well, that's the thing. It's all going to wind up going into a hat. So, you know, just wrestle that thing into a hat and you're there.
John,
but,
I
don't know. I'd always like to say Roy Scheider just to throw people, but he's way too old now.
John, I read that you wanted to do stand-up comedy, Jesus. Why didn't you stick with that?
There are a few stand-up comedians I would like to do, but I'm married now, so that's all over.
Right, okay.
But I'm funny enough to know that I'm not quite funny enough. You know, like I appreciate it as an art form.
Yeah.
And you know, I could get a couple of good shots in, but it's like a guy who's an enthusiast of boxing who can throw a punch once in a while. And you know, I'd be okay in a back alley, but if I really had to for a living go out and fight bouts, I'd get my ass kicked.
If you can't be the best, then why even try, right?
I don't even think I could be sustainably getting a living is the thing. Like if I could like be good enough to where I could find a place in my own little zen heart and go, you know, I'm doing a good job at it, then I would be all right even. You know, like I wouldn't have to be the best at it if I could just hold my own. But the thing is, when you're a comedian, your mom just died, let's say. You can't go in and go, hey, my mom died. I feel really bummed. And just sort of, you know, have a cathartic moment that way. As a musician, you kind of can. Like, there are ways where you can play sad. You can play pissed off. But as a comedian, you got to kind of go on one note. And that's why I think it's the toughest performing art. You know, I don't know how they do it. Like, the good ones, it's amazing. But it feels like music when they're doing it right. So I guess that's why I relate to it.
Well, guys, Suck and Blow in bookstores now. Blues Traveler is going back on tour. Go to bluestraveler.com for all their upcoming tour dates. They're going on tour with the Wallflowers. I bet you mosh to the Wallflowers.
I've moshed to the Wallflowers.
I bet you
moshed to a Gregorian chant. I think they called it a fight. I think I was just fighting with somebody.
John, we really appreciate your time, buddy.
Wait, John, do you
have... Hey, thanks for having me.
Do you have audiobook?
No, there's actually, that's on the table. I think I'm going to do that down the road, but, yeah.
Okay.
I got a nice little thing in my contract where they pay me extra for it, so hell yes.
Hey, yeah. John, we appreciate it.
Yes, always cash is king, you guys. No, hey, thanks, you guys.
Take it easy.
All right.
Matt.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, talking to John Popper is fun.
Yeah, Mike, thank you so much, honestly, for inviting me on this, because that was a blast, and I want to talk to him forever.
Don't like, you want to call him later and just ask him like if he tried the new thing that McDonald's put out, like you know, hey, have you tried McDonald's mozzarella sticks yet?
Yeah, I took my phone out and I snapped a picture of his phone number so that I have it, just so that I can say that I have.